Presented to you by the PewterCast. Feeling good tonight as the Buccaneers came off with a division win against a division rival in their house on the road. Buccaneers win. Now, what was the score? 35-22, and it was even a little more lopsided than that, given some garbage stuff. And I am super excited to get to talk to you guys about it. My name is Brent Allen. I am your host. I'm going to bring in my co-host here, who is joining us all the way live from Ireland, Ren the Man Dax. How's it going over there, my leprechaun friend?
That's culturally inappropriate.
And, is it?
Insensitive.
I apologize because I'm not trying to be, because I actually thought it would be like culturally relevant to them over there. I don't know if they, I've never been there. I don't know. If I offend anybody who's Irish, I apologize.
I don't know. I don't know. I didn't bring it up at all. I've brought it up. Nor have I seen any like leprechauns in gift shops or, but to be fair, I've been like in the middle of the country where we're way up north and Donegal, right now, sort of close to the Northern Ireland area. But, yeah, we're staying in a castle tonight. It's pretty impressive.
You're staying in a castle.
Yeah.
Does it have a moat?
It does not.
Does not have a moat. And here's the reason
But it is on a lake.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, that might count. I'm not really sure. That is Ren is showing us around the castle there. That is pretty nice.
This is just a room I'm sitting in, and the whole place kind of looks like this.
That's cool. That is super cool.
So that's pretty dope.
So the reason I asked that is because when I got married, my wife and I spent the first 3 nights of our honeymoon in a castle. And, you know, I thought that was pretty pimping. And like a legit castle. It's called the Castle Post. It's in Versailles, Kentucky. You guys go check it out. But my wife told me it didn't count because it didn't have a moat. It's like, okay. I got you a freaking castle for our honeymoon. She's like, well, it didn't have a moat. I was like, she did that.
Off to a great start.
Yeah, I know. So, hey, as is this show. But hey, Ren Dax, you're in Ireland. It's like in the wee hours of the morning. Pun not intended. Didn't even mean that one. But it is very early for you over there. You got to watch the game, I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to open up the phone lines. Before I get any further, I'd like to say hello to everyone who is joining us live at youtube.com/thePewterCast. Lots of people filling up the chat room already, and they'll continue to do so over the course of the show. You guys have a ball over there. We'll open up the phone lines here in just a minute. Also, a shout out to everybody who's watching us on the podcast feed later. You know, there's a few thousand of you that do that. So we'll you know, hi. But Ren, let's not waste any more time because, you know, I don't want to eat too much more into your vacation. Talk to us about your thoughts on the game, kind of your immediate thoughts coming off this Buccaneers win 35-22.
Well, almost back-to-back interceptions by Jameis. Just, oof. You know, we were like, okay, here we go.
Right.
The defense showed up and came to play. And more importantly, I'm sure everyone's, you know, they saw it and everyone's been talking about it, you know, since the game's been over, it's the secondary, how impressive they were. Addition by subtraction.
Right.
I think every single player back there except Whitehead had a pass breakup. Dropped a bunch of interceptions that were in their hands. You know, this could have got ugly for the Falcons. But just a really nice win. And did you see that we scored, held them to a short clock, then got the ball back and scored again?
Oh, you mean there at the end of the half? Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw that, and I was thinking of you, like, the whole time. I'm like, this is exactly why Ren continues to say to defer. Although, in this game, if I understand it correct, we actually didn't win the toss. They won the toss, and they elected to receive, so we were kind of forced into it. But, yeah, I was by the time we got up, and we were up, I want to say it was it two scores or three? By the time they got the ball for the first time in the second half, we had gone up, like, we'd gone up two scores at that point. And I think we were ahead by, like, maybe two and a half, let's say, scores. So, yeah, it changed the whole tone of the game.
Yeah. It turned it in. it turned into a close game to now the Falcons are trying to play catch up and they haven't even had the ball yet.
Right.
Like that's what that, you know, if you're able to score late and then score early, it changes the whole game. Like the game, it basically ended the game when they came out in the third quarter, went down, scored a touchdown. It was basically game over.
Yeah, exactly. And they were able to play the way they wanted to play, but none of that would have been possible. And I mean, I even did like a little, I don't think I ever do this. I did like a little halftime, Periscope.
Oh yeah.
With, and my thoughts, and I don't think my thoughts at the end of the game were any different than my thoughts really at halftime was this is a typical offense for the Buccaneers that we see. They're not mistake free. They do make mistakes. There were those two interceptions, which we all were like, oh my God, here, I mean, my snark level for those first like two series on Twitter was super high, especially coming off of last week because I was still feeling last week. I got to be honest with you. And I apologize right now, by the way. I meant to say this at the top of the show. I apologize to everyone out there if this is not as good of a show for you this week as it was last week. I'm afraid we're just not going to be able to live up to that same the same hype, the same pub that we got off of last week's show, Ren. You know, a lot of people, I like this group right here where, you know, we're going off on rants, whatever. I prefer being this way on a win. But anyway, you know, we had those two interceptions. They're not mistake-free, but they're still coming out. They're you know, lots of yards, moving the ball up and down the field. They're scoring, and they're making up for the mistakes, right?
Yeah.
But you flipped over what was different, and what felt so different about this game was the defense. The defense was finally holding, and I was going to tweet you and say, so, but I thought I'd save it for the show. Ren, I have a question. This is my biggest question. Would you like to have Todd Bowles' babies again?
No. I think I'm after Jamel Dean's babies now.
Oh, Jamel Dean's, yeah. Dude, what? But I mean, it wasn't just Jamel Dean. And by the way, like, I spent the whole game, like, every time Jamel Dean made the play, it's like, oh, there he goes. Oh, stopped the touchdown. Oh, got the down. Like, he just should have been in. But I mean, Jamel Dean, he ends the day with 5 pass breakups. I'm not sure how many Vernon had in his total career. Did it get past 2 hands? That's a real question. This is a serious question. I haven't looked it up, but like,
I wouldn't be surprised either way, but it can't be much more. It's not in the 20s.
No. Yeah. No. It can't be. In his, you know, 3.5 years here, it just can't. But, I mean, geez. And then Carlton Davis, he comes alive. He got lucky, I think, maybe a little bit on that. I don't know. Lucky might not be the right word. He was pretty forceful on his interception that he got. But, I mean, the other guy caught the ball. Carlton just sort of ripped it out of his hand. He was in the process of catching the ball, and Carlton ripped it out of his hand. So,
if it doesn't work out with Jamel, Carlton would be my backup.
He's your backup.
Backup baby daddy.
All right. There you go. I like it. I mean, Mike Evans get on the game. Mike Edwards got in on the game a little bit. And Ndamukong Suh, he took a little bit of flack from some people. He got a pick six. A fumble recovery for a touchdown.
Scoop and score.
Thank you. He had 2 quarterback hits. I mean, I'm looking at the stat line. I almost never have the stats here in front of me either for this game. But it was just such a defensive game. Shaq Barrett he was hunting. Like, he was, it's like he came into this game going, he had to get a fix, you know? Like, I got to get a sack. You know, once he got it, I don't know, say he sort of chilled out a little bit, but, I mean, he was really, really pumping it up, so.
And that was another play on his sack where he, you know, he stripped it out, and Matt Ryan was more than beyond lucky. It just bounced under him while he was falling on his face.
Right.
I mean, he didn't even grab it. It just, like, he just pinned it underneath his body.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was another turnover there that the Falcons were lucky that they didn't give up. Yeah. So, yeah, the defense was impressive. The pass rushers there. The offensive line was making U's, not V's.
Right.
The first time all year, I remember U's.
Yeah. You know, no sacks. No sacks on Jameis today. He didn't even get touched.
I think he had 1 registered hit.
Oh, did he?
But no sacks. Yeah, well, it's only 1.
No sacks.
You know, Ronald Jones, I thought, might have looked the best he's looked running the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Peyton did Peyton stuff. And, it was Perriman blocked.
Yeah.
You know, Mike probably had, you know, an okay to maybe a little below average for Mike, but he still got his 1,000 yards. And,
right. Well, he only needed 7 going into the game, but still, yeah. But I can tell you, the first couple of passes they sent to him, I didn't know if he was going to make 7 this game, you know?
Yeah.
He got 50 yards on the day, Mike Evans did. Chris Godwin, though, I mean, man, he went off for 184 yards. That was bolstered, of course, by a 71-yard run right there at the very beginning. But, I mean, it just this is the kind of game – this is not an embarrassing game, Red. I came out of last week's game saying I was embarrassed. This is the kind of game that I want to see us bring back and have that. By the way, our chat room came through for us, said that Vernon – this is RGMK – tells us that Vernon had total 20 pass breakups in his career here in Tampa. And even 20. Right. So, and Jamel Dean, if somebody tell me what Jamel Dean is at so far, but he's got to be close to 10 at this point. I think.
Oh, he's way over 10. He's almost to 20.
Is he really? Yeah. It's, I mean,
he got like 5 in Seattle. Then he got like another 4 against Arizona.
Right.
And now would you say he had 5 today?
Yeah. So 14 just by off at the top of your head there.
Yeah.
You know, he might have actually, somebody says 13. They say he has 13 in the chat.
There you go.
Imagine what he would have if he actually played last week. And that's going to be one thing that I think I'm going to dig at that for a while. You guys might get tired of it, but I apologize for that. But Ren, man, it's just a good game, you know, and I want to address this at the front. And I probably said this, I don't know, 2 or 3 times. I don't care how mad I am at this team. I really don't. I don't care how mad I am. I'm never going to root for these guys to lose, you know?
No. And I saw a little bit of that on Twitter too.
Yeah.
You know, some fans being upset about the point like, well, you know, all we did was ruin our draft position. But that's not what it's about. What it's about is turning the corner and setting it up for next year. I'm not talking about momentum. I'm talking about playing well enough, especially in the secondary.
Right.
Because all these guys secondary are going to be here. Mm-hmm. You know, it's nice for the defensive line to get pressure. It's nice to see Vita Vea. I mean, geez, what a great game he had, even without the touchdown.
Yeah.
But, you know, but Vita Vea is going to be here. The secondary is going to be here. The linebacker is going to be here. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought Devin White for the first time maybe outplayed Levante David.
Fair. Yeah. You can make that argument for sure. I mean,
you know, and then, but the pass rush, it's great to see, but those guys are going to be here next year. A lot of them aren't.
Mm-hmm.
So what's really important is watching that secondary come together and gel. And by, you know, it's I feel almost foolish saying it, you know, because it's such a duh statement. It's like they had their best game of the year.
They really did. And to be quite honest, that's what it's about. I will concede the idea that momentum may not carry from one year to the other, but the experience that these guys are going to have, especially that young secondary who will be here next year, the experience that they're going to have, gelling, coming together, learning the defense or learning the offenses, learning how to communicate with each other, the trials and tribulations they're going to have. And if they learn how to win, how to close out games, how to not just close them out, but how to control the game. If they, you know, they learn the system, that's just going to set them up for next year, you know? And so they're just going to do that much better then. So, I couldn't be more ecstatic. I am super excited for what's going on. So Ren, without further ado, we are not here just to talk you and I, we are here to talk to our fellow fans. So why don't we go ahead and we'll open up the phone lines, and we'll let our fans call in. Let's hear. There it is right there. Phone line is open. If anybody would like to call in, that number is 864-729-BUCKS. That's 864-729-2827. Please remember, we always say this is a PG-13 show. You know, just don't rail off. You can say what you want, but don't just rail off. But also, we only have one phone line. So if somebody's on the line, that's cool. Just wait. Please don't keep calling. Just wait. And when the phone line's clear, you be the first one to call in. We'll take your call. And, you know, we'll talk to people as long as they want to do that. So you guys go ahead and call in 864-729-BUCKS. That's 864-729-2827.
I like the new disclaimer there in the ticker.
Yeah. So we're using a whole different thing. I understand, by the way, I'm seeing in the chat room, we're lagging a little bit. There was a dip in our stream quality for just a minute, but it's back as far as I can tell. So you guys should be fine there by the time you hear this. I apologize for that. But anyway.
Yes. I am on Wi-Fi from Ireland.
Right.
So, I mean, it might help. Go up and down.
It might. All right, let's see who we got here. You are on the line with Brent and Ren for the Instant Cast. Who do we have here tonight?
Got Chris here tonight.
Chris, what's going on, buddy?
Doing well.
You've been waiting to call in tonight, man. So what's up?
Yep. So, yeah. Yeah, just a lot better than last week. Last week I was feeling pretty down. But, you know, this week you saw a lot of good things that hopefully we can see over the next 5 games trending in that same direction. And that's what I'm really looking for the rest of the year. For the people who just want the Bucks to lose to get a high draft pick, I think Taylor Jenkins from the Pete Report had a pretty good article this week that although, yes, we got Bruce Arians, but the process that's happening this year is different than what it's been in the past. And I really like the way he put it. You know, DA's not calling plays this year. He's really doing a lot of delegation and letting his staff run the team more, mainly because health reasons. But yeah, so my question to you, one of my questions to you is if this team goes 7-9 or 8-8, what would you think of this season? Is it all, you know, obviously it's not the playoffs, but do you think BA accomplished the turnaround that he set out?
Well, you know, what we always say, Chris, is when, you know, we get these type of questions, it's, well, how do they go 7-9? How do they go 8-8? But if it's a continuation of what we saw in the backfield of the secondary, I would say, yeah. You know, the offense has been pretty much steady Eddie for, you know, 9 of the 11 games. They've kind of done the same thing. They're going to put up around 30 points, sometimes a little over, sometimes a little under. They're going to turn the ball over. They're going to, you know, commit holding penalties and you know, hands to the face and stupid stuff like that. But they're going to score, and they're going to turn the ball over. but, you know, what – and it's been everyone's complaint, and, you know, and it became almost like beating a dead horse, but it was a secondary. And, you know, last week, BA and his coaching staff started to get a lot of flack. I'm talking to both of you guys here. About, you know, we're getting BA light. Should he be calling plays? Like, where's this Todd Bowles magic? And, you know, it just, it took basically the ejection of Vernon and then sort of a couple of weeks to figure out how they're going to play Dean, where they're going to play Dean, you know, when they're going to bring Edwards in. And, you know, they all played great. So, you know, there's your coaching. Like, look at SMB, look at Dean. Look at Edwards, and you can even throw Carlton Davis in there from where he was last year. How much they've improved from game one to today. And I think it'd be really hard to argue that, you know, BA and his coaching staff aren't coaching up the boys.
Yeah, I would add to that. Like, I wouldn't say that if they get to the end and it's 7-9, 8-8, whatever it is, I wouldn't say it's mission accomplished. You know what I mean? Like, there's still more work to be done. But, I mean, you consider if we go 8-8 or even 7-9, right? What did we go in the first half of the season? It was 3-5, I think, right? That means the second half of the season, we would have finished 4-4 or 5-3. So you know, I mean, that is an improvement for sure. But as Ren said, it's really how we get there, you know. And if we see a bunch of games here, like through the stretch, that look a lot like today's game, then yeah, I would say they're doing their job and they're doing what they need to be doing. It just took time to get there, and it was frustrating as hell, and it continues to be frustrating as hell. It all season long it had, but yeah, I wouldn't say mission accomplished yet, though, you know.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that mission accomplished, but what I'm saying is, like, things, you know, if the secondary plays the next five games like they did today, and, you know, could you know, people, you know, was BA right? Was the secondary fixed? It just took longer to get there, you know. You couldn't, no. The way I look at it, you couldn't just sit there and cut Vernon Hargreaves week one. You had to, you know, he's a first round pick. You had to see if Bowles could turn him around. And obviously, you know, when did they cut him? 2 weeks ago? What, week nine or something like that? And they decided enough was enough. What else?
Chris, before you get off of that, the you know, this whole thing with VH3, you remember way back in, I don't even think it was training camp, it was probably like OTAs or something, when Vernon didn't go for a game or for practice, and they were like, hey, where's Vernon? And coach was like, I don't know, you got to ask him, you know. Like, yeah. it kind of makes you look like, hey, this might have been something that's been carrying through and gone through. And you're right, they could have, but I mean, you've got to try to give the guy time, you know, to get in. But I don't, when he said the secondary is totally fixed, I'll give that a hard no. I don't, that was still a wrong thing or a wrong assessment at the time. To say that the secondary is fixed or is getting fixed or is a hell of a lot better than it was before now, like if they continue this throughout the rest of the season, sure, I'll give them that. But back then, I don't know that you could really say that with any kind of accuracy.
Yeah, and I'm not sure. I don't remember back then who brought the question up or how
you know, I don't think BA just walked in and said the secondary's fixed. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, you got to, as a coach, what do you want him to say? You know, hey, you know, this secondary's going to be trash. It's going to suck. VH3 isn't who I thought he was that I saw in film, or, you know what I mean? Like, you have to, he tried to insert that confidence early on, and, you know, it just didn't, you know, like you said, Vernon didn't have his mind right. And, you know, how many games this year, you know, could you go back and say that? Where, you know, maybe he just didn't have his mind right before a game. He doesn't know how to prepare. Or, you know, they tried to give him a shot outside. I know a lot of people are saying, well, he was a nickel corner, but that's not what the Bucks drafted him to be. You know, they wanted to see if he could be an outside corner, and if he couldn't, he wasn't worth $9.5 million next year. So they had to see if he could be an outside corner. And 9 weeks in, they decided he wasn't. So, And I just think that's part of the process, you know, like, hey, find out who wants, you know, who can we work with here and who can we, you know, have going forward into next season.
Yeah, who's coachable.
Yeah. And then I had another question. I can't think of it.
I think you said something about Rojo.
Yeah, you were going to talk about Rojo.
You know, Rojo looks night and day. You know, he's breaking tackles. I mean, he had like three spins just to get in that end zone, which was pretty funny, but. No, it's just a lot of things, you know, like I think you brought it up earlier, probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago, Ren, you know, little by little, the coaching staff is fixing what they set out to fix. And I get it. I know I fell into it. I thought it would be immediate too. You know, the coaching, they kind of sold us on that, but he also said that before he even watched any film of this team. I think it was its introductory press conference where he said this is an easy turnaround.
Well, it wasn't.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it wasn't, and it was going to take time. I just hope going forward that they stick with, you know, I like what they're doing with Ronald Jones. I still think he needs to be more involved in the game plan and staying there more often. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, I got to tell you, I saw, you know, when I saw Peyton Barber come out, like I get when they put Dario Gumbale in there. I don't like it, but I get it. I will almost never understand putting TJ Logan back there. But as far as putting Peyton Barber, like, I mean, unless Rojo's just been going so hard that he needs a break, I'm not going to understand them putting Peyton Barber in at this point, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if it's just they're trying to rest them or, mm-hmm. you know, but it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But what I was going to bring up was just look how different, you know, being able to contest catches, you know, like yeah. they were physical with Julio Jones, with Calvin Ridley, and both of them, I think Julio Jones, you know, hurt his shoulder early in the game. You know, I think someone tackled him and he hurt his shoulder. Mm-hmm. Calvin Ridley got hurt. You know, they were just being physical. And when you're physical and you know, you give that extra second, you let the pass rush get there. I think there's a stat, someone, Pro Football Network or Greg Omen, someone put it out that, five players today had over five quarterback pressures today.
Like across the league or in this game?
Just like in this game. I think Devin White, Shaq Barrett had like nine. Jason Pierre-Paul had five. I want to say Vita Vey was in there. There was one other person. I don't know. But they were getting, you know, Shaq Barrett was getting after Matt Ryan early in this game, and it was only a matter of time. Like, he just kept overrunning. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he would get the snap count. He knew what the snap count was, and he was beating his man every time. Right. He was just, you know, Matt Ryan would step up, and he'd miss him. But I'd like the physicality we saw on defense today, especially in that secondary, you know.
Yeah,
that's all you can ask for.
Yeah, Brent used the word when he was talking about Shaq Barrett, you know, before we started taking calls about, you know, Shaq Barrett was hunting. And Mark Schlereth used that word about the secondary. And it really was. Like, even if it was a pass that, you know, was going to come up short and look like it was going to be incomplete, like, the Buccaneers had two defenders diving for the ball just to see. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It was all-out effort every play, you know, sort of defending every blade of grass in your face. And if you're going to beat us, you're going to have to go through us. You know, you're not going to be able to trick us. You can't, you know, you're not going to be able to go around us. You're going to have to straight up go through us. You know, it showed. Like, I can't remember how many, you know, I've never seen so many hands get on balls in one game as a defensive from the defensive side from the Buccaneers. It's, it feels like it's been decades.
I think Greg Allman said there was like 16 total across the defense today.
Yeah,
including that's including Vita Vea and everyone else. So.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, Vita had
I got this feeling like just like watching the facial expression on like Julio Jones. Like I got this feeling that they thought they were going to come in. You know, he's always terrorized the Bucs, and it just didn't. You know, they got the best of them today. They were physical with them. They weren't playing 20 yards off the ball, letting them catch a slant, and you know, it was just. I liked what I saw today from the secondary. You know, they knew it would be a challenge, and they rose to the occasion.
I agree.
Right. But it might be a total, you know, we play Atlanta again, but I, you know, I'm not exactly sure I'd expect the same results because Julio was banged up. Calvin Ridley ended up getting banged up. They didn't have their number one tight end, and they didn't have their number one back. So, you know, the game might be a little closer if all things being equal, Atlanta didn't have its full rate. And basically, let's face it, what the Bucs did, they made Atlanta look like they did before 2 weeks ago. They made them look like a 1-7 team, not a 3-7 team. They made them look like the 1-7 team. And but you know what? They're on your schedule, and that's what you do when you come up against a team that you're better than.
Yeah. All right, Chris. Well, hey, I'm going to go ahead and let you go, man. We're going to let some other people call in tonight, all right?
All right, guys.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Chris.
Go Bucks.
See you, Chris.
Go Bucks. Yeah, man. Yeah. I don't know where to go. I feel like I've said everything, but I don't know where to go from here, Ren. Somebody call in. You guys call it. Somebody was trying to call in. The line was busy, so I had to decline it. But 864-729-BUCKS. There we go. Nobody else call in. Let me take this one. You are on the line with Brent and Ren for the Instant Cast. Who do we have here tonight?
Sue.
I believe that's Chef.
Yeah, I just had to put that one in there.
Yeah, what's up? Well, now, Chef, I saw you made a promise on Twitter earlier that you were going to leave the negativity at the door. So lay it on us, brother. What'd you think? Buccaneers win 35-22 over division rival on the road.
Yeah, it's definitely the I don't know if I would say this is the best the team has played since the Rams game, but I'd say it's pretty close up there, especially – secondary-wise, easily had their best game this year.
Yeah, I would say this was better than the Rams game, to be honest with you,
yeah.
Chef. Don't forget, in the Rams game, the defense still gave up, what was it, 40-some-odd points, which is what had Ren had his panties in a twad that night. So I got mine out. So, but, yeah, I would say this – is it fair to say, Ren? What do you think? Is this the best this team has played this season?
I think so. And, you know, you'd like to say like all three phases, but it really wasn't.
No, special teams had issues today.
Yeah. So I would say, so instead of using the word best, say the most dominant, like on both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
This is where they played the most dominant. You know, the Falcons had no answers for them playing that cover two, and just Godwin was eating them up with those balls down the seam. And then, you know, our defense, even, you know, a bunch of sacks, they should have had a bunch of turnovers, but, you know, they held them to very few points. And when the Falcons did, you know, move the ball and get into scoring position, they held them to field goals every single time but one. Oh, they had a late garbage touchdown, but... you know, when it mattered, they held them to field goals. So easily the most dominant game they played.
Yeah,
I would also probably say this is obviously being dominant, but also their most complete game, because I think even in the Rams game, we didn't see the guys like play as a unit as much as we did today. It was obviously there was a few blunders in there, but even with those blunders, the team still came out and just like played like they were as a complete team. It's like what Trevor Sikkema or Taylor Jenkins, one of the two, said: the team looked like they were having fun, and we haven't seen that from them all season long.
Yeah, they were definitely having fun. I mean, you know, dominated your opponent and scoring and winning and getting turnovers and sacks. That'll put a smile on your face.
Oh yeah, especially with Vita Vea. I mean, they got to keep scheming him more on offense. I mean, don't put him out there all the time, but like put like special drills or special situations on offense for him, because as much as he is a weapon on the defense, he's just as much of a weapon on the offense, blocking wise and scoring wise.
Yeah, and you know, I thought it was real smart the other day when they put him out there in the last game. Was it the Saints game or the one before that? I don't remember when he got out there, but they didn't throw him the ball.
The one before that, I think. Yeah,
yeah, but like they didn't throw him the ball then, you know, because like you see that come out and you're like, okay, they're going to go to him, right? And when they didn't throw him the ball, when he came out today, you were like, yeah, they're just going to use him as a blocker or something like that. You know, like it kept the question mark. So I like the idea of putting him in for a goal line type situation, maybe a fourth and one type situation, and to change it up whether or not they go to him. You know, I don't want to see him go to him all the time. I think that was something we saw with Warren Sapp. Remember when he used to do that? He'd get in, and I feel like we almost always went to him every time he was in, you know. So I could be wrong. Don't quote me on that, but I feel that's what my memory tells me. So, yeah, man, Vita Vea had a great game today.
The thing for me is, with all regards to the offense, I don't know if, like you were saying earlier, if Rojo just isn't in shape to carry that kind of a load, but you'd almost think that, because I know he's their best running back on the roster, why he doesn't get at least 20 touches or whatever, because Rojo desperately needs to be schemed more into the offense, because with him in there, because you could even see, like, when he was driving the rock and all stuff, it helps Jameis out more, and I'm still kind of like you, Brent, on the fence with a Jameis train, but you can see that when Rojo is on and he's, like, tearing up, like he was during, I think, that one drive when he got the touchdown where nobody could take him down. When he's activated, he's he's the threat that Jameis has been missing since 2015. And especially next year, if they can shore up this offensive tackles and all that stuff, we can finally hopefully see the home run ability that Rojo possesses.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, you know, for Rojo next year. You know, Brent and I had said many times that we just thought Peyton Barber was just going to play himself out of Tampa and you know, and get this bigger free agency contract, or a big enough free agency contract where the Bucks, you know, didn't feel like they wanted to match it because they had Rojo.
Right.
I don't know if that's going to happen now. Neither that's one of fair. These guys really get enough touches to show anything. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not that they're putting good film out. They're just not putting any film out. It's just not enough. So, but I'm with you. You know, even though Barber got in there and he did fine, it always sort of hurts my heart a little bit when I see Peyton Barber go in there, because I want to see Ronald Jones, and when Ronald Jones gets the ball, things happen. And there were a couple of times that I felt that I saw holes. And, you know, don't get me wrong, it's not like I saw holes and Peyton didn't, and what are you doing? It was more that I felt like if Rojo had that ball, he would have seen that hole.
Yeah.
You know, he would have made that cut and saw that hole, and he'd still be going. You know, that'd be a minimum 7-yard gain instead of like a 3-yard gain. So, I mean, but I just feel like they have a plan, you know, is every time I feel like the coaches are being just flat out stubborn, these guys do have a plan. And we saw today sort of with the secondary. So, you know, it's taking a game or two, maybe three more games to see that what we thought would be we'd hope to see it week one, but we'll give it to week eight. Well, now it's not happening until week 11. You know, it just took a little longer than we really, really wanted. So I'm with you, you know, Rojo 20 touches, 2020. That's what it is. Rojo 2020, not for president, 20 touches in 2020. So it's just 2020. Yeah. Or are we going to do 2020? Or are we going to do 20 to third power?
Look, here's the deal.
Do you guys think that the blocking on the screenplays is piss poor, or is that just me?
I didn't get to see, like, as you can see, the shows kind of get a little spotty. It was the same way here. I didn't get to see every play. I think they blocked the wide receiver screens way better than they did last year. The running back screens, I think, is still a work in progress. And I don't really remember having seen a running back screen. But again, like I said, I've probably missed somewhere between maybe 10 to 12 plays on both sides of the ball, because when the internet was trying to catch up, because it was live TV. What do you think, Brent?
How is Ireland, by the way?
Well, it's just, you know, it's pretty classic. It's not too cold. It is cold, but it's not too cold. It rains a lot. I don't see the sun a lot. But, you know, when people talk about the rugged countryside, we went out to some place I was telling Brent for the show called Sleeve League. And it's kind of like, you know, where the cliffs meet the ocean. And they have this trail that runs along sort of all the ridges. And you can go pretty much as far as you want. But what about Ireland? It's like, it's first off, it's free. And then, you know, but when you get to the parking spot, like, there's no gift shop. There's nobody there selling you, you know, rain jackets and hot cocoa. There's nothing. Like, they just built the parking lot and walked away. and, you know, and they maintain the trails. But, you know, we were there and there's maybe 15 cars there all day and we hiked for like 4 hours. You know, it looks just like it did 500 years ago. And that's sort of the beauty of Ireland.
All right.
That's why people go and travel there, so.
I guess.
Yeah, but we got the next 2 days in Dublin, so we're excited. We're going to the big city.
Hey, let's talk about the Bucks. Ren, you asked me what I thought about the screen pass. Look, bottom line, I would need to go back and watch those plays again, because when I'm watching a game live, I'm not looking at those things particularly. So they'd really have to stand out to me. There was one screen pass that I do remember, like, the guys were just not doing a good job. It's because the screen pass failed. So with that, hey, Chef, tell you what, this guy's been trying to call in. Let me go ahead and let you go, because we're at our limit with you. But we'll talk to you next week then. All right, buddy?
All right, sounds good.
All right, talk to you later, Chef.
Thanks, Chef.
All right, you are on the line with Brent and Ren for the Instant Cast. Who do we have here tonight?
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Steve from D.C.
Hey, what's going on, Steve from D.C.?
Hey, Steve.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey,
I'm in Ireland. Would you like to hear about it?
Offensive line.
Yeah, buddy. What about it?
They played good today. Pretty good. They protected Winston, looked out for him, and, you know, the big guys did what they had to do.
Yeah.
They did. I agree with you 100%. Like, it was, you know, probably the best Jameis has ever been protected. And when they needed to run the ball, there was holes there, and they did it.
And they even blocked their own running back at one point. Did you see that, Ren? Did you notice that?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm almost positive it was Peyton Barber had the ball. Jameis turns around, hands Peyton. Peyton runs right into Donovan Smith and, like, bounces back, like, 3 steps. You know, like, Peyton Barber usually just, when he goes, he gets stopped, and then, like, he'll fall forward a little bit. That wasn't the case on this one. It's just, I don't know what happened, but it was funny. It was more humorous. But, yeah, I heard, though, Steve, I haven't watched it yet, but I heard Jameis praised the offensive line of saying they didn't touch him, which I am looking at the sheet. Ren, you're right. They did technically record one hit, but, that offensive line just, you know, they got beat up from last week, but this week they held it down, did their job.
Yeah, you gotta give them big guys praise. I mean, football is won in the trenches.
Yeah,
it is. Offense and defense side. Yeah. And we won it on both sides, offense and defense. Mm-hmm. But one thing I want to say to you guys, going forward to next year, we got the win. It was good. Mm-hmm. But we got to sign these guys on the D-line. Like JPP, Dominguez, Carl Nassib, Shaq Bird. We have to sign all of them. Every last one, in my opinion. That's what I think we need to do. Secondary played good first time all year.
I agree.
Yeah. As far as the defensive line, I mean, I'm sure there's guys that the Bucks are really high on and want to sign. Mm-hmm. And there's some that are probably on the lower on the priority list but would like to have back. But if you're going into this offseason thinking that we have to, we're not going to. Mm-hmm. It's just not going to work out. I mean, right. Look, I mean, last year, you know, I mean, we brought in Sue and we brought in, you know, Shaq Barrett. I mean, I don't really know who's going to spring loose as far as interior or edge rushers, but, you know, who's to say that the guys they bring in next year won't be better?
Mm-hmm. I'd be shocked if JPP wound up signing back just because of money, just because of pricing, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, honestly,
he's a leader. He's a leader though.
I agree. I agree.
I'm with you,
but they're, he's also old and he has been injured, significantly twice. But he still plays dominant. Like it's almost like those things aren't a factor, but they are, you know? So, but I, you know, they reworked his contract so that he would be a free agent at the end of this year instead of next year. And freed up some money for him. I think he's going to get a better offer somewhere else and that's where he's going to go. Although JPP did say he would like to come back to the Buccaneers next year, but he'll go wherever he needs to go. I'd be
shocked. I just think these type of guys that we got now are cool guys we need to keep on the team.
I agree.
Along with this young back end that we have.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, to your point about JPP being a leader, There was one thing I know. Every time something happened with JPP on the field, or I'm sorry, not with JPP, with one of the defensive guys, when you'd see them go over to the sideline, the JPP was right there talking to them as they came off the sideline. You know, like when you talk about that leadership, like he's in it and he's in their ear. And like there was one point he's like, "I told you so. I told you," or something like a good, like somebody did something really good. And he was like, "You see, that's what that's like." So I don't know. He was
all over Vita Vey when he scored that touchdown. All over him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the attitude on the defense in general has improved.
Yeah.
I don't want to say totally changed because I mean, from last year to beginning of this year, it had changed and I thought it had been a dramatic change. And now with JPP back, I think, you know, the attitude that Bucks fans and myself are looking for, it got a boost in the right direction when JPP came back, which was, you know, really nice to see because we didn't get this, like, I don't know if it was happening last year in the locker room, but we didn't get a lot of it until the end of the year when JPP came out sort of the cleaning out the locker room press conference where he just said, he's like, there's just some guys in here that just don't keep it real.
Yeah.
I got a stat for you guys.
All right, go ahead, man.
Quarterback that had the most turnovers in their first five seasons. I'm looking at it right now. First quarterback,
Terry Bradshaw.
Jake Plummer.
Please tell me it was Terry Bradshaw.
No. First quarterback is Jake Plummer.
Uh-huh.
Second is Hall of Famer Peyton Manning. Third, Drew Bledsoe. Fourth, Curry Collins. And then fifth is Jameis Winston.
Really? Jameis is still fifth on the list of turnovers
in his first
five seasons?
This was last week's stats.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, all these quarterbacks are retired, so
yeah.
All gone.
And he's still got games to play in his fifth year.
Yeah, but still, I mean, geez, that's how far, just out of curiosity. So Jameis went over the 100 mark today. I think he went to 101, right? No, 100.
And the top is Jake Plummer with 112.
112. Okay.
Peyton Manning, 111.
Mm-hmm.
Drew Bledsoe, 106. Curry Collins, 102.
Okay. We probably could say that Jameis will throw two more picks over the course of the next, how many games we got left? Four games? Five games? He'll probably throw two. You know, will he throw 10? I doubt it. Maybe. I don't know. He threw a bunch in the last five. Here's what Jameis does, though. This is what Jameis does, though, okay? He gets streaky, right?
He
throws them all.
I'm a Jameis fan, though. I'm a Jameis fan, if you guys don't know.
Brother, I get it. I get it. And one of the things that makes you a fan of his is how when he gets on a hot streak, he stays on a hot streak. I would anticipate, you mark my words. We don't do a lot of predictions, but Ren, mark my words on this. Jameis Winston is going to have a good next couple of games. Like, we'll see him protecting the ball. He's going to make better decisions. They'll put points up on the board. He's going to have a good next couple of games. I don't know if he's going to run out to the end of the season or not, but I do think he's going to have a good couple of games here. And, you know, he's going to, this whole argument where people seem to have been shutting the door on him coming back next year, I think it's going to blow that door wide open again.
I'm not sure what's going on. I just want to ask you guys.
Sure.
Is Jameis Winston Tampa Bay franchise quarterback?
I would like for him to be. That's the best answer I can give right now. I don't know. I really don't. But I would like for him to be. I would love for it to be Jameis. But he's got to. We've got to work it out. You know.
Can I hear from Ren?
Yeah. Here's what I would say. At the beginning of the year, I would have said yes. And then sort of had some of these games, and I'm like, I just, and even the start of this game. But if you look at this game, this is sort of like what everyone's been clamoring about. It's like, you know, give him some protection, give him some semblance of a run game, give him some semblance of a defense, you know, just put these things in the mid range. Like, it doesn't have to be top 10, but, you know, top half of the league offensive line, top half of the league run game, top half of the league defense, and let's see what he can do. And that's kind of what happened today, you know? And they won comfortably. He threw his picks, but he also threw three touchdowns. And, you know, the offense was kind of unstoppable out there. At least the Falcons didn't have any answers for it. So, again, you have to remember that it's a new offense, and he's still taking the coaching from B.A. and Todd Christensen and those guys. So I'm going to wait till the end. But I'm with Brent. Like, I think he can be. Right now, I just hope that he is. The end.
Steve,
I think he will be. I think he'll turn the corner.
Yeah.
I told you guys before, I said, you guys always say he need 1 year with his receivers. He need 1 year with his coach.
That's fair. I, you know. I definitely think that's fair. So, hey, Steve, I'm going to go ahead and let you go. We're gonna check in with this other caller. All right, buddy?
All right, guys.
All right, talk to you later, man. All right, you are on the line with Brent and Wren for the Instant Cast. Who do we have here tonight?
We're gonna check in with this other caller, all right, buddy?
Hello.
All right, guys. All right, talk to you later, man.
Hey, do me a favor.
To us on the radio.
Yeah. Hey, do me a favor. Turn us down in the background. We can hear ourselves. Turn us down there and talk to us. Who do we have here tonight?
This is Jose from Fresno.
Hey, Jose, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, man? I'm actually part of the Bookaholics. I'm their DJ, and I've always, I listen to you guys a lot, mm-hmm. and I've, had the chance to call.
Man, thanks so much for calling.
I've seen you in pictures and on videos.
Yeah, and first time caller.
Fantastic. Right, do you want to tell your story about how you became a Bucks fan?
Oh, for sure. So,
let's hear it.
Being from Fresno State, Trent Dilfer gets drafted by the Bucks, and I started following them, ever since then, and became a fan. I didn't choose the Bucks. The Bucks chose me.
There you go.
Yeah, there right. You go. I think that is the first I'm a Bucks fan because of Trent Dilfer's story I've ever heard in my life.
Well, you know what? There's actually a lot of the Bucks fans here here from Fresno, from the Central Valley, that became Bucks fans because of Trent Dilfer.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. I get it. But you're the only one from Fresno, the Central Valley, that I've talked to. So
there you go.
Well, there you go.
So what's on your mind, man?
Hey, no way. What a game, man. It was one of those things, Winston pisses you off at the beginning, and then he somehow pulls it off.
Yeah, he did. I mean, it was a quintessential Jameis Winston game. And I kind of liked how, at the beginning of the game, and he had those two turnovers, and, Solaris was kind of in his butt, and like, this is what it is, and even when he threw the touchdown to Godwin, and it was like, oh, he's not been a very good anticipatory quarterback. And, I almost have to jump, I had to jump off the bed to, yell and slur at the TV like that. It's like, that's what Jameis does. Like, that's why he threw that interception,
Right.
The first, like, that's like all his throws are anticipatory, or I know I'm messing it up, but yeah, he throws the ball early a lot. So, but halfway through the third quarter, he totally flip flopped the announcers. They're all on his side and talking about how he just keeps slinging it, keep gunning it, and he must have said it 5-6 times. This is why Jameis Winston is exciting. Why he's frustrating. It's like he's gonna throw these picks. You're like, what are you doing? And then he's gonna throw these throws that you're like that was a perfect throw. Like there's like five guys in the league that can make that throw.
Right.
And two of them are getting old where they can't make it anymore.
I got to tell you, and Ren, you may disagree with me on this. I've never felt so understood before as a Bucks fan by a commentator.
I really have.
I mean, I like this guy, and our friend Larry from the Bears podcast that we do. He tweeted, he's like, you can have him. I hate the way he talks about the Bears and stuff. But I was like, I mean, Jose, I don't know about you, but he actually explained in a way that made sense to everyone else what I think we as Bucks fans collectively go through.
Right. Especially like now, like I see the situation with Trubisky, and I'm like, okay, we don't have it that bad. I mean,
right.
Yes, he did go off on us, and I predicted this. I said after this game, he's gonna be non-existent. I go, this only happens against the Bucks for whatever reason, when Trubisky went off on us. But
yeah,
I mean, Jameis. I mean, I tell this to everybody. I wouldn't consider myself like a, they call him Winstoneers. I'm not a Winstoneer. I just, I root for the guy because he's on our team.
Yeah.
So I want him to succeed. So I tell people, just, he throws these picks, yes, but he doesn't have a defense to bail him out. Brett Favre was a turnover machine. Look how he turned out to be,
Right. That's what we've been saying. I feel like that's been our year on this podcast of, he's a turnover machine, but he doesn't have a defense. But he does this stupid thing. But he does this brilliant thing. And both are right.
Right.
Everybody who says get rid of them, they're right. Everyone who says keep them, they're also right. Well, which one do you do? It's so maddening.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting what they decide to do with them. I would just say keep them because there really isn't a better option out there. If you draft a quarterback, you don't know what you're gonna get. Mm-hmm. These guys a lot of times are really good in college, and once they get to the pros, they don't turn out as great as people think they are. So
right. It's
gonna be interesting, we just have to wait and see.
Jose, I got a question for you. I'm gonna change topics on you all the way around. You're the DJ for the Buckaholics, all right? Did you go to the Rams game or the Seattle game or any of the games from out there this year?
I was at the Rams game. Okay. I was in San Diego, and I was at the Arizona game like 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. The only one I didn't DJ in was the San Francisco game. That was I think the first tailgate that we ever did. I actually met them the day after that first blowout against the Arizona Cardinals in like 2016. I met them that Monday night. I was actually DJing at a bar, and then Vance, he walks in. He walks in there, and then I seen them with the jersey. I was like, oh, dang, you know, because I was all excited to see somebody with a Bucks jersey, because you don't really see a lot of Bucks fans out here.
No, you don't.
So I seen them with the jersey on, and then I had this song. It was like that Welcome to Atlanta, but it was a remix of the Welcome to Tampa Bay.
Uh-huh.
So I played it, and then once I played it, him and his brother come up to me, and they tell me about the Buckaholics, and, oh, hey, join our group. So then after that, we went to that San Francisco game. That's when, the late DJ San Andreas, he was there DJing that first tailgate. And then I joined them in the San Diego game. And I've done all of them that are here in the West Coast, except for the first two.
Man, that's cool. That's cool, man. Hey, listen, as a group, and I, you know, I know there's all the different chapters for the Buckaholics, but I think when I think of the Buckaholics, specifically, I think of those of you that are out there in that California area. And it's, I love you guys out there, and I love getting to talk to you guys. So, Jose, you got anything else for us before I let you go tonight, man?
No, man, just keep doing your thing, man. I listen to you guys religiously every week, you know.
Thanks,
once
man.
That notification pops up that a new podcast, I listen to it, and, you know, just keep doing your thing, and I'll call you guys again.
Please do. That's what this show is all about, man. It's all about us connecting and being together,
right? All right, Hey, have fun in Ireland, Ren.
Thanks, Jose. We'll talk to you soon.
I'll see you, man. Have a good one.
All right. He's good, man. Maybe we should get, if we ever actually do the live Pewtercast award show, like whatever, we'll get him to come out and do our DJ for us.
You mean like live with like TV cameras at a venue?
My thought is to do it in the media room, like the press conference room there at $1. The room that's like 10 by 20, with 15 people sitting there.
The podium room.
No, like the press, like the press conference room, like we're right across the hall from the media office.
Yeah.
That little room. That's that in my head is where we'll do it one day. Maybe one day we'll graduate to the big room. So we'll see. Let's find out who we have here. You're on with Brent and Ren. Who's calling us right now?
Hey there, it's Mike in Tampa.
Mike in Tampa, what's up, buddy?
Hey, celebrating probably the most solid win of the season that we've had so far. Really enjoyed it. We talk a lot about complimentary football, and I feel like for the first time in a long time, we got it today.
Yeah, I agree. What'd you make of the special teams, though? We haven't talked a whole lot about that on tonight's show yet. Matt Gay misses three kicks, and they're all, all of his kicks were kind of on that same upright. I don't know if you want to call that the right or left. It depends on your viewpoint, I suppose. But, they were all skirting and playing with that upright, whether they were in, out, or hit it.
Yeah. The thing about Matt Gay is, like, you take out that final play against the Giants where – a lot of people like to blame him. I still think we were up by 17 at halftime. It should have never come down to us kicking a last-second field goal against that team. But he's been solid this year. And kickers are going to have these games where every kicker, maybe besides Justin Tucker, is going to have their share of missed extra points out there. So at least they came in a game where it wasn't the difference between winning or losing.
I like it.
Right. It just was the first time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel you. I think the reason Brent asked you the question is because you said complimentary football. And when people talk complimentary football, it's like offense, defense, special teams.
Yeah, that all three phases.
So he was just wondering, I'm bringing that up. Did you really feel it was true complimentary football? Or is it just more of a case of like, hey, the defense and the offense was the first time, that both of them showed up in one game, this year?
Right. When I say that, I'm more so meaning the two main units, not including special teams unless there's something really egregious going on. But our punt team is usually pretty good. Ryan Smith, while he's not a very good corner, is a absolute hell of a punt gunner. And whenever we move on from him, I'll miss that from him.
Yeah, Ryan Smith showed up again today, a couple of times.
Mm-hmm. The way he took down whoever their punt returner guy was, like he went right up into his face, like dared him to call a fair catch. He didn't, wrapped his arms around him and took him to the ground. Like, it was great. Loved it.
Yeah. And, you know, after, you know, we hit loss number seven, we really thought that, you know, playoffs are pretty much out of reach, as we kind of expected for a couple weeks now. Really, one of the main things that even you guys have been looking for is how can this young secondary develop and build and show promise going in throughout the rest of the season. And I think today was an excellent step forward in that direction.
Yeah, you know, when I think it was a Tennessee game is when we started calling it, like, it's over. Like, I mean, you know, what are we going to – now what are we – well, why are we going to watch these games now? What are we going to look for going forward? And we started talking about, you know, watching the coaches and all those holes they talked about that they had or Bucks fans thought they had and see if they were being filled by this coaching staff. But, yeah, it was definitely was – biggest was the secondary. You know, it took some growing pains early. They changed some guys around, still had some growing pains, changed some more guys around, looked better, but not good. And then you could slowly see it, like these, you know, kind of like past couple of weeks. So definitely today, I mean, I think any football fan on any team would take that defensive effort, or I should say secondary effort, that, you know, all those young Bucks put out there today. It was so refreshing and you know, and fun to see, like, Buccaneer cornerbacks in the picture when a Falcon attempted to catch the ball.
Yeah, absolutely. And you take those, we had about 100 dropped interceptions altogether today. So you include even a couple of those. And like you were saying, this game gets out of hand pretty early.
Yeah.
But to me, it doesn't matter that this was a 1-7 Falcons team a couple weeks ago. Like, I like seeing this team move into the right direction. And while I might be someone that during the week is saying, oh, you know, we should lose draft position this and all that, on Sundays, as soon as they kick that ball off, I just can't root against this team.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think a lot of us are. You know, like, I, you know, Brent is completely anti. I never want this team to lose. You know, except for, like, what do you say? Like, late in the, like, last game of the year.
Last game of the year, last, maybe I'll even give you as much as the last half, right? And you're, I mean, it's what happened to us a couple years ago. And you're vying for, like, that number one spot, maybe even in your top 10 spots. You look up and you go, oh, wait, if we lose this game, okay, pull your starters. I'm not even saying tell your people to lose the game. Just make it harder. That's about the only time. You know what I mean? Because outside of that, you know, and even going forward, and we talked about that kind of at the top of the show, was, listen, this team still has a lot to learn and a lot to, to pull together. You know, I think at this point, what happens is, if there is a loss, it softens the blow, as long as they compete, okay? What I couldn't stand and what I wouldn't be able to stand is the rest of the season looking like last week did. That would be the absolute worst thing in my mind, is if the rest of the season just was embarrassing. If we went out and we lost today, but we played respectably, you know, I can weather that a little bit, as long as we look back and we go, man, secondary is really starting to come along. Secondary's, you know, they're plugging all these holes. You know, defensive line is still getting at it. Yeah, we lost a couple interceptions. You know, but that's the thing. And, you know, they'll decide on what Jameis does next year. But, you know, I mean, I'll take today 1,000 times over anything else. You know, it was good football. They worked together all the way around, shut down some of their
absolutely.
Of their best playmakers.
And I thought all year that our first two levels on defense, our defensive line, our linebackers, have actually been pretty good throughout the year. Yeah. I just really thought it was that youth in the secondary that's just been getting us killed lately.
Well, you weren't wrong, because that's what it was, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And the offensive line just really, you know, we're just so used to games like last week, Jameis getting hit 13 times last week, sacked multiple times, constantly under duress, and actually having time today. You know, like we said earlier, this was a 1-7 football team a couple weeks ago, but they really did well. And I think that center and guard play has really been outstanding pretty much all year. And I think most of the issues have come from the tackle position.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I'd have to kind of see numbers on that, you know, to see if that's something that like I get how you can have that as a feeling, like an idea that it's something on the tackle position, but I want to see if that actually winds up being true at the end of the season. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm not negating your feeling because I get why you would think that. I'd just be curious to see where those numbers really wind up.
Yeah, it is an interesting point. I do think that Bo Jensen and Allie have pretty high grades on PFF, depending on how you rank those. Mm-hmm. And I think that Kappa is real, especially compared to last year's Alex Kappa. This year's Alex Kappa seems to be definitely, well, he might not be a Pro Bowler, definitely doing a respectable job. And I've really been impressed with his development this year.
Yeah, yep, I'm right with you.
What's up? All right, Mike. Well, man, thanks so much for your phone call. I'm going to go ahead and let you go. And we're going to probably get out of here for the night. But definitely call us back on another week. All right, brother?
All right. Sounds good. You guys have a good night. Go Bucks.
All right. Go Bucks. Go Bucks. Go
thanks,
Bucks.
Mike.
Well, Ren, I'm looking up here at the time, and I see we are kind of there at our deal. So I'm going to go ahead and kind of shut this down for the night. But we've got lots more to do. Lots more coming up here. Throughout the course of the week, when are you back? We haven't even talked about I mean, obviously we'll do our Tuesday show. We'll do our Friday show, our final thoughts. We'll do our, email segment and all that kind of stuff. Bucket the news coming back around. Are you back this week? Or are you gone through Thanksgiving?
No. I'll be back this week. Okay. I don't know when. I think it'll come back Wednesday.
Okay. All right.
So I don't know.
Flying while we would normally record our show then.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll figure that offline. We don't have to do that here online. But with that, Ren, man, listen. First of all, I want to say thank you to everybody who called in tonight. Everybody in the chat room who's been just tearing it up over there. Listen, if you guys got to call in, or you didn't get to call in tonight and you wanted to, or maybe you're picking this up on the podcast feed later, you've got thoughts on the Buccaneers, you've got thoughts on the game, send those thoughts into us at gmail.com. It's theputercast@gmail.com. We'll get to those on an upcoming show later on this week. And we'll do that, and then we'll be back later this week with our final thought show. We'll have Buck in the news, and next week we play the Jags. Woot woot, Jaguars. We'll see.
I'm sorry, I'm fading. I was so glad you called the show, and I feel bad because people still wanted to call.
Yeah, yeah, I can sense it. That's why we're.
But it's 4 a.m. here, and yeah. I got to get back on the road like at 6 a.m.
Right,
and drive like 3 hours. So
right,
yeah.
So
woo Jags.
Woo-woo. Yeah, woo-hoo the Jags. Ren, why don't you tell the folks where they can find you on the internet out there, buddy?
At Rendax, REN_DXT. Find me on Twitter. That was the handle. Good night.
All right. And you guys can find me at Brent Allen Live across all the social medias. And the show is at The Pewtercast on Facebook and on Twitter. Once again, that email address is thepewtercast@gmail.com. Well, guys, thanks so much for joining us. Thanks to everybody else out there. And, hey, listen, Buccaneers win, guys. Let's enjoy it this week. And till next time, guys, go Buccaneers.